steps up, delivers over the middle, intercepted by who else but Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see him back over with Telvin and Rashad and play with Dante and just, you know, bring Jacksonville back to the top. I'm so excited.
My feeling is I think he's going to be even a better pro than he was a college player.
With the fifth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, defensive back, Florida State.
Right after Dallas' pick went in, like, no more than a minute later, my phone started ringing. I saw 904 immediately. I picked the phone up so quick, I didn't even let it get through the first ring.
I love my visit there and love spending time with him. And this young defense, you know, is turning up with Telvin and Fowler. He's going to be able to play this year, myself and Prince back there in the secondary. I honestly just cannot wait to play for the Jaguars.
Duval!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
That David Garrard should be along. We hope it'll be along shortly. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at the Players' Championship, the Benefactor 10. And you're right, Tony, the breeze is blissful right now. This is, I mean, if you don't come out early, if you got Friday off and you don't come out early to the Players, you're doing it wrong.
No doubt.
Because, you know, you have less crowds, you have great sight lines, you have beautiful weather, perfect weather right now. It's supposed to get maybe a little bit of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, but we'll worry about that if it gets here, because by that time, everyone's going to be well lubricated and feeling no pain when
well,
it comes to the Players.
You know, that's the thing about the Players. It is a party with a golf tournament going on, or a golf tournament with a party going on, depending on your perspective of what exactly goes on out here at TPC Sawgrass. So even if the rains come, that doesn't mean the party stops. There's plenty of tents. The Benefactor here is fantastic. There doesn't have to be golf going on for people to enjoy this venue during this tournament.
No question about it. By the way, speaking of Duval, got one. I got a Duval shout-out from Jamaica this morning on Twitter, Tony, at DTW Dalton. Hooked up with a couple of new friends in Negril, Jamaica, and had them doing the Duval salute.
Nice.
Duval.
There you go. That we retweeted that. And rumor has it, we might get a call today from one of the former Soviet republics on the program. We only have like 11 of them to check off the list. I don't know.
Does that technically count as Asia?
Yeah.
Because we haven't had an Asia call yet.
Well, we've had Australia, right? We've had Europe. Have we had Africa? Have we had anything like Egypt or anything like
that?
I
haven't got Africa yet.
I don't think we've covered Africa. All right, well, we need
to. And I'm not hopeful about Antarctica, so.
Someone's got a hotline down there. You know they do. We just got to get word to them, Tony. We got to get their Twitter handle and tweet at them.
So this would mark off the fourth continent.
That would be good. We're getting global, going worldwide right now. If you'd like to participate, Kyrgyzstan is the location where one of our listeners, and he's a member, from what I can tell, of the Bold City Brigade, Washington, D.C. chapter, but living in Kyrgyzstan right now. So break us off a call wherever you are worldwide, Jaguar fans, 904-641-1010. The number, as always, it's also the text line number, which is driven by Duval Ford. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Question of the day. You know we got one. Happy Friday the 13th, Tony. Does that mean Kevin Na is going to go 13 under par today?
Spooky.
I don't think so, but I'll hold out hope. Oh, my goodness. He's got another birdie on the card, and he's actually in red figures overall. Kevin Na, 2 under on the day. Only 8 off the lead, right? I can hope. Guy can hope. I just want to make the weekend, Tony. Just have something to talk about and watch on the weekend, something with a rooting interest. But today, for Friday the 13th, we simply ask you, what is your biggest sports superstition? I don't know if you have a favorite sports superstition, but what is the one sports superstition you adhere to, whether it's in watching your team, in playing sports yourself? What do you do associated with sports that you have to have that ritual, or you don't think the outcome is going to go the way you want it to? Share your thoughts with us today on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Throw a bone to at 1010XL Tyler, working hard back at the 1010XL World Headquarters, and of course the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business as well. Tyler, who do we have in the media center this morning? Is Joe C?
Jack O'Brien.
Joe Jacko. Is Jacko
he's
in there?
He's fresh and he's ready to go. He's excited.
He better say nice stuff about Kevin Na, because he was talking garbage to me all morning about Kevin Na and talking up his boy Dustin Johnson. So we have $5 on the line. I've got to make the weekend, Tony, at this point in time. So with that, we'll get to Tony's list, some of the greatest games of all time. What is it, a 16-game bracket?
It's 8 games in each bracket.
Eight and eight, right.
So it's 32.
Oh, 8 games in 4 regions. Oh, yeah. Wow. 32,
yeah, so
I like
32
it.
Total games that they have listed.
Okay, and we'll go through that. We'll take your calls. We'll talk Jags. We'll talk players. You know, it was a year ago, not the exact date, but Friday at the Players, when David Garrard dropped an, oh, by the way, I'm announcing right now at this moment I'm officially retiring. It was like I was getting up to leave. He goes, oh, you're going to leave now? Well, then I guess I'll make the announcement now. And we're like, what announcement? I'm officially retired. Aren't you done? Yes, but I'm officially done now. So congrats to the one-year anniversary of David Garrard stepping away from the game he loved. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at the Players with you on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. We'll take you to the media center all day long with continuous leaderboard updates, and right now is no exception.
Here's a Lumber Unlimited Players Championship update.
Good Friday the 13th, everyone. High-flying Jacko live from the media center with this Players update. This is the 27th event of the PGA Tour season, with 16 tournaments remaining to qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs. This report is brought to you by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, local number 177. Notable action here in the early portion of round two. Jonas Blix goes out on the backside first, shoots 3-under, moves to 8-under one shot back. Alex Chayka moves to 8-under after 3 birds on his first 6 holes. Zach Johnson also at 8-under following 3 birdies. Boo Wheatley at 6-under. Retief Goosen at 4-under on his first 9 today, moves to 6-under par. And Justin Thomas, 4-under for the day, 6-under for the tournament. Live from the Media Center at the Players Club, this is Jack O'Brien. We'll be back in 20 minutes.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Our man out here at the Benefactor Tent, Tony, is confused on what is the measure to success in the NFL these days. We're talking about, you know, you got to have more than one guy to throw the ball to. Well, not if you're a Julio Jones owner in fantasy, you know.
No.
Come on, force feed man, all right?
Damn the second receiver.
We don't care about winning games. We care about winning fantasy games around here. Uh-oh, we've man down or lady down right now. I hope she's okay. I think someone might have, it's not that hot out, but I guess
no.
It's muggy, like you described it earlier, and somebody is down on the sidewalk right now, and hopefully just got a little lightheaded or something like that. I didn't see the person fall down, but she's laying down and being attended to back here behind the 17th tee box. So we'll keep you posted on that. Hope everything's going to be all right with that situation. But for right now, Tony, looking at, you know, less critical news, at
sure.
least from her perspective, Jason Day continues to sit atop the leaderboard. No one has caught him yet in the early going. Of course, he'll go off in the afternoon wave today. Remarkable day yesterday. I mean, lipping out on 8, almost holing out on 9 out of the bunker. Had a little tap in for birdie there to get to 9 under par and wrap things up. Absolutely spectacular.
Pretty incredible.
I was the number one player in the world to play that
way. Yeah, I was telling
you
on the way in, we have to walk from the media center over here to the Benefactor today. So we're walking all the way down 18. And I said, you know, to be Jason Day. And to come to that hole, you know, there's history on the line, really, because it's 63 is the course record. You're trying to get to 9 under par. All this stuff is going on, and Jason Day can go, I'll hit 2-iron, 5-iron into 18. I mean, it's just incredible the length that these guys have and the options that it gives them at times on this golf course. And hearing him talk yesterday after the round about how uncomfortable he is most of the time with that 3-wood in his hands and how much he's been working on that here for the last week or so to get ready for this tournament, where it demands that it takes the driver out of your hand at times on this golf course, where you have to hit it to a spot instead of just as far as you possibly can. And it worked out well for him yesterday. We'll see if anyone could chase him down in the morning rounds, because we are expecting some weather to come through this afternoon, which may make things a little more difficult for the guys.
Easier or more difficult. You never know. It'll soften things up, but you get that break in play, and it disturbs your rhythm. Different guys will react differently to that kind of thing. It would have been better for headline writers had Jason Day, say, shot 68 yesterday and then posted a 63 today, because then you go Friday the 13th is Jason's day, right? There's your headline. It's done. You're welcome, newspaper people. All right, I'll keep you in business for another week. but that would have been appropriate. But as Cavi pointed out to me on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, that Friday the 13th it must be Jason's day once again. So I kind of stole that from Cavi.
It kind of could be. I know Zach Johnson just left the 17th Island Green here with another par, so he's just one stroke behind the leaders. 3 under on his round today through 8 holes as he's getting ready to play 18 and then make the turn to the front here this morning. Jonas Blixt also at that 8 under. Alex Cheka just gave a stroke back there at the par 3 8th, so he's back to 7 under, but still 2 under on his round today. So
poolside, Alex Cheka.
Yeah, so some guys chasing down a little bit Jason Day here in the morning. We'll see if anybody can put up a number that he has to chase this afternoon when everything is said and done.
Yeah, Alex Cheka we had on a couple years ago. He was the Thursday leader, I think, or right there near the top of the leaderboard. I think he took the lead into the final round that year, and we caught up with him poolside at the Sawgrass Marriott, which was kind of cool. He was just chilling. He's like, yeah, I'm done. I shot pretty well. No practice needed today. It's going to soak up some rays. Hey, you do what you need to do. Just saw a lovely couple from Austria. First time in Jacksonville. Came strictly for the players.
Nice.
And they're rooting on Wiesberger. They're Austrian. And they're like, you started well, and then like, hey, I think that's the universal language. We know what that means. He was headed in the wrong direction. So they couldn't believe how lovely Jacksonville was in the time here so far. And certainly this venue is a spectacular one. Like you said, you don't even have to like golf. If you like life and you come out here, it's invigorating. Yeah, you got to love the
Beautiful women are aplenty.
Man. Oh, are you kidding me?
There's no lack of them.
Sundress Central, and you're right about that, Tyler. There's no lack of lovely ladies. We know that, though, on the First Coast. But they're on full display in their regalia, their golf regalia out here throughout the week. And today is the big day. My nephew's coming out today. These kids these days, Tony. He's got like a month of finals, and if he has a test in the morning, then he's like done for the rest of the day. What happened to high school? High school's so soft. Are they just handing degrees or diplomas out to anybody these days? What's going on? Very proud of my nephew, man, Cameron. He's about to graduate high school this year.
Is it like an AP test? Or is it just a final?
Because
that's how it worked when I was in high school with the AP test, where you could get the college credit if you passed it.
Oh, yeah?
It would be at, like, this time that day, and you had to come in and take that test, and that would be all you did that day. But it was like a three-and-a-half-hour test.
I gotcha. Man, I'm trying to make him look bad, but I can't make him look bad. He's a good kid. He'll be my second niece or nephew to graduate high school with 3 to go. So keep it up, and my son better do the same. I have low standards, Tony. Just get out of high school, all right? You're on your own, kid. All right, make it to 18 so I can hand you off to the fate of the world. I don't know. That's all I'm trying to do is hang on, claw, and hang on for dear life until he hits 18 years old. We are perched right behind the 17 tee box right here. Not quite the angle. We had the steeper angle last year, but you felt like when you were kind of inside the benefactor, you had to be a little quieter. I like the outdoor environment. By the way, David Garrard said, probably about an 11. He said, probably, because Dave's one of those texters. P-R-O-L-L-Y. Probably about 11. He also likes coo instead of cool, because 4 letters is just way too much for your thumb, right?
Yes.
You got to get it with coo. But Dave will be along at some point in hour number two. Let's take a look at this bracket, Tony.
Sure.
A little bit. Here's the issue. You sent me a link to the bracket, so I checked it out.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to remember some of these games, like what went down in these games. That's the difficulty of a lot of these things right here. You know, like the 81 NFC Championship game between San Fran and Dallas. That wasn't the catch. That came later. That was like 87, I want to say, right, with Dwight Clark at the back of the end zone?
I believe so.
Something like maybe even 89. I don't know. It wasn't 81.
But it's a one seed.
I don't believe. Right, that's a one seed. And I'm trying to, you know, come up with what happened. The 81
it game, is the yeah, that's the catch.
It is the
catch. NFC championship.
All right, well, man, my goodness. Forget me trying to pinpoint a year anymore, because I was right there. I was off by over half a decade.
Yeah, the 49ers won 28-27. It was their first Super Bowl trip.
How high did Dwight Clark actually get off the ground on that catch? I mean, it's not like
it wasn't like Air Jordan.
No, I mean, I just don't understand. The guy went up and made a nice catch in the back of the end zone.
It's a fantastic play, a fantastic finish to a fantastic game.
But it's that, and it's also, I think, the franchises that we're playing, right? Dallas in the NFC, was pretty much a dominant franchise from the 1970s, transitioning into the 80s when San Fran would take over, and that was one of the major steps on their way to taking over with Montana and company winning all those
Super
Bowls.
Apparently the 81 playoffs were pretty good, though. I wish I had been around for
that. Who else we got?
Because Dallas, San Francisco was at, and your 81 divisional playoff game, San Diego, Miami.
Oh, yeah, San Diego, another one seed.
Is a one seed on the other side of that bracket. It's the same year. So
that's in the individual heroics bracket. I guess they're going with Kellen Winslow Sr. in that game, caught however many. I want to say, now let's test my memory here. Do you have numbers on what Kellen Winslow did in that game? I want to say he had like 13 catches that game, which at the time may have been a playoff record, something along those lines. I want to say he had 13 catches, probably wasn't much over 100 yards. It was just more the spectacle of him being completely exhausted in the heat in Miami, getting basically helped off the field, going back on a very Leftwich-esque, remember at Marshall when he was getting the help with the broken leg, maybe not to that extent, but more even after the game, you see that shot of him with two teammates, each one under an arm, kind of helping him off the field. He blocked a field goal in that game. Remember, this game went to overtime, so every point was crucial.
81 against Miami. They won 41-38. He had 13 catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown.
All right, 166, a little bit more than I remember yardage-wise, but it was the 13 grabs. It was like they just, you know, it isn't like today. Like today you see Julio Jones have a 15-catch day, and we've kind of come to expect it, or maybe – not expect it, but we're used to it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Terrell Owens had the 20-catch day, right, when he was with the 49ers
Brandon
in the 90s.
Brandon Marshall had one a couple years ago that was like 22 or something.
And so now you see guy catch 12 or 13, you say, oh, wow, big PPR day. But, you know, it's not like, holy cow. I mean, that was part of it. It was the scene, the stage that they were on.
Yeah, the next year, I'm looking at his playoff log now. Kellen Winslow the next year against Pittsburgh. They went to Pittsburgh and won a playoff game, San Diego did, 31-28. He had 7 for 102 and 2 touchdowns in that game.
That's pretty good.
The next year, yeah.
That's pretty good. I quite often played as Kellen Winslow in the backyard. Kellen Winslow or Chuck Muncy. Even though as a Jets fan, we didn't have as many fun guys to pretend to be, certainly on offense, as they did. Who else we got that we're looking at here? What has caught your eye? We've got the crazy endings category, which includes the Norwood miss against the Giants. I mean,
I've watched that game a lot.
I'm sure you have because that's your squad and, you know, it's a Super Bowl championship and all that. But is that, I mean, it's a good game. It's a Super Bowl that comes down to a final play, so it's exciting from that regard. But, like, I wouldn't put that over the Giants' victory over the Patriots when they were undefeated back in 2007. To me, that was a more compelling game from start to finish.
Well, and look, it's funny. You look at this category, that Super Bowl 25, Giants and the Bills, was the one seed. It actually lost to the eighth seed, which is a game I don't even want to think about. But the Week 15 game 2010 with DeSean Jackson and the punt return against the Giants is the game that actually went past it. And that was a crazy ending, right? Like, and if you're just comparing the endings of those games, obviously the stage is much bigger in one, but the actual ending itself was a whole lot crazier for that Philadelphia and Giants game in 2010. There were things that happened in that Super Bowl 25 that I think make it a more compelling football game than what happened just at the end of that Week 15 matchup in 2010. I think it's more of a complete game than it is just a crazy ending.
Right, but that whole bracket, that whole that
felt like it was a one
bracket
seed
is a crazy
right,
ending.
Maybe they
bracket.
Just felt like it was a one seed somewhere, so they put it there and it got beat by an eight anyway.
Right, that could be the case.
The youngins on the internet.
Do we see the Patriots Giants Super Bowl, which would have been Super Bowl 42, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Right? That does make the list. That was a three seed under individual heroics. Would that be David Tyree?
Yeah.
One catch make an individual heroic. I mean, to me, that game, the
fact
that
it wasn't technically the ending.
It wasn't the ending, right. And I understand that it's not a crazy ending game, but you know, that game was dramatic, I thought, throughout. I mean, the whole storyline of can this team be regarded as the greatest to ever play, and the Patriots would have gone down as the greatest regular season, single season team in NFL history if they won that, because nobody believes, I say nobody, I don't think everyone believes that the 72 Dolphins are the best team. They do have the best record, and so they have a claim to being the best team of all time. Nobody beat them. but the Patriots would have won more. They would have set so many offensive records, and it would have been one of four championships in the Belichick-Brady era. At the time, it would have been their fourth, and now they'd have five.
Sure.
I think that would have been regarded as the greatest season in NFL history.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny bracket in that it's the greatest game of all time, and they have it split in these weird kind of categories where it is individual heroics in the greatest game of all time bracket.
Right.
And crazy endings in the greatest game of all time bracket. Well, is it the greatest game or the best ending to a football game?
So. Well, one of the reason we bring it up is because, as Dan Hicken mentioned, the NFL and YouTube are partnering to stream classic games online, so you can go back and watch a number of these, and we're talking about that. Maybe you want to send us some suggestions on some of the great Jaguar games you'd like to go back and watch as well. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Question of the day is simply this. What is your biggest sports superstition on this Friday the 13th? Live at the Players on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Let's head to the Media Center. Here's another update with Jack O'Brien.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, if you couldn't get any geekier on Jaguars Day, I don't know what we do. Tony and I are right now, yes, in the month of May, involved in a fantasy draft in a league that's based around the theme of comic books. The ultimate in geekdom has been reached, Tony, for
right.
You and I. And I am going to see Captain America Civil War
nice.
For the second time tonight. Only three for you? Three viewings?
Yeah, I went and saw it last Thursday.
It's no Mad Max is what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go again at some point. But I saw it Thursday, Saturday, and then again on Monday. And this week, with being out at the Players, it's just been too busy for me to get
right.
back out to the theater. I had some friends on Wednesday night that actually... We were having dinner, and one of them was like, "Hey, you want to go see the movie?" And I was like, "Ah, I shouldn't." You know, I didn't want to be out till midnight and then have to come out here and do this whole week. So I'll go again next week.
Tony's such a dedicated professional. People need to realize that about you. Me, you know, I get to bed at like 2, 2:30. Roll out. I'm like, it's only a two-hour show. I can fake my way through that. You kidding me? No, I wouldn't do that. Rory McIlroy is incendiary today.
Gosh.
That would be the word I would use
He's solid.
To describe his play. More than solid. I'm sorry, more than solid. Rory starting on the back nine this morning at even par, right? Even par after a 72 yesterday.
Mm.
All right, birdie number 10.
Nice.
All right. The pros don't mind number 10, Tony.
No, they don't.
I do. Okay. I know, because even if I catch my driver, I'm going to drive it through that little fairway. I miss hit my 3-wood just as much as I miss hit my driver, so that doesn't help me. So now I'm 200 yards out. I do not like 10. Number 11. Actually, birdied 11 once. No, I'm not going to go hole by hole with you on my history at the TBC Sawgrass, but Rory birdied it today. Good for him. And that is a difficult one, I think, for the amateurs as well. Number 12, why don't we throw a birdie up on the board on number 12
okay,
right there.
Okay, so he's
right?
birdie
out of the box. And then 13, I mean, depending on the pin, that's a pretty easy hole for these guys, right? Why not birdie that one? Okay, four in a row. Well, par on 14, for shame. For shame, Rory. And then came back with a birdie on 15, just eagled 16.
Oh!
So if you're doing the math, that'd be 7-under in a 7-hole stretch as he, I believe he put one on the green here
he
at
did.
17. The group is up on the green right now.
I can't
so.
Read that scoreboard as far away as it is, but I can see that he is on the green.
I can see that he is minus 7 and tied for 4th right now, and that's what you got. I can't tell... What is Bubba there? Is he 6?
Bubba's 5.
Bubba's 5, Dustin Johnson 6. Okay.
Yes. That's Man. A pretty strong group right now.
That is a strong, strong group right now. Probably the best of the day to follow. And if you're just getting out here, head on over to the first tee because they're finishing up on 17. If you're just walking, locking up the car right now,
minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Make your stroll over to the first tee and you can follow that group. As they play the front nine, which is their back today.
Shane Lowry shot that 29 on the back nine yesterday, which is the tournament record 29.
Rory needs par to do that.
Yeah, Rory needs the 2-putt from where he is on 17 right now and then par the 18th to tie that record. I mean, the scoring conditions out here through this first day and a half have been unbelievably good. And the best in the world are the ones that are rising to the top right now with Jason Day up there, Rory McIlroy's there, Spieth.
Are you trying to say Kevin Na is not among the elite of the world right now because he is not taking advantage of the way I'd hope
Well, it depends
would.
On what you want to call elite of elite, right?
He's a great golfer,
there
but
literally,
there's a top crust.
There are hundreds of thousands of people that play golf, and he's like the 42nd ranked guy.
Yes.
That does it. So he's pretty darn good. But it still feels like a long way off from a guy like Jason Day or Rory McIlroy. And Zach Johnson, just a few moments ago, joined the lead there at the top at 9-under. He's 4-under on his round today. So there are low rounds to be had today. Two different guys right now on the golf course are 7-under on their rounds.
Colt Knost is 7-under. But he's played more holes this
seven
morning.
700 through 12 is still pretty.
700 through 12 is ridiculous. A solid effort as he has he birdied 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. So a 5 and a 6 hole stretch. And then he made the turn, par 10, birdied 11 and 12, and is playing the par 3 13th right now. It's 7 under on the day. So, yeah, I don't know what everybody picked for the winning total. You probably went too high, right? The number's going to be lower, it appears, at this point in time. Because, look, Jason Day comes out today and shoots 69. 12 under par. I don't think he's backing up. I don't think the course is all of a sudden going to turn into, you know, Oakmont overnight. So I still think you're going to be able to, you know, shoot 70s on the weekend. If you shot 70 on the weekend with that start, he's 16 under par.
That's... And usually the way it works is whatever the Friday leader is, the winning score winds up around that number. Is how it usually works, is right around that number, maybe a stroke or two one or the other way. But with the scoring conditions they've had, I think it's really hard to predict exactly what's going to happen this weekend.
And not just that, but the quality of players that put the scores up right now. And you look at Zach Johnson, major champion. Jason Day, major champion. Rory McIlroy, multiple-time major champion. Shane Lowry is an outstanding golfer.
Justin Rose, 7-under. Yeah.
Bill Haas is a very good golfer. Boo Weekly is at 6-under par. Retief Goosen, a couple of majors in his bag. Retief is another guy who shows up on this leaderboard an awful lot, doesn't he,
out here at the
Players? There's certain guys, and there's DJ, much to my consternation, costing me $5 potentially.
Are you guys are you ready for your golf stat of the day?
Oh, please do. I didn't know we got a golf stat of the day, but is this a new feature on Jaguars today?
It's a one-day thing only.
It's a one-off.
We don't want to stretch it out.
All right,
one-off.
It's
too good. This is from Jason Sobel of ESPN.com. Everyone knows about 17 and how it's, you know, the island green and how famous of a hole that is. From 1983 until today, there have been 14,343 tee shots at 17. Only 6 of them have gone in.
6 hole-in-ones.
6 hole-in-ones, correct.
On 17, okay. I thought you meant it in the water.
Out of 14,000, over 14,000.
Because you're gripping, man. I mean, you know, you're just like center of the green. Now, look, there are times when you're down by a shot on Sunday, you got to go for it, but you're usually not.
Who was the last one? Who was the last one? It's been a while, right?
Oh, I don't know. Who was the last one? I mean, Freddie had the most famous three in history when he plunked one and dunked one in the cup on the next shot on his drop. I don't know who was the last one. Do you have a list? Can we get a list of all the hole-in-ones in tournament play? I would think that would accompany the golf stat of the year. We're going to call it the golf stat of the year because you get one golf stat during Players Week that Tyler's going to throw at you, and we're only out here once a year.
You know, I'm out doing updates yesterday afternoon from like 1 to 6, so I'm listening to all the afternoon shows while I'm doing those and getting ready to...
Tremendous lineup, by the way,
right.
1010XL.
And two different times during the afternoon, you know, they have their little stat contest. Right, both shows have one where they're doing basically a stat contest where one host asks everybody else in the show to guess at some number. Right, well, both of them yesterday were about the island green at 17, and both of them were the complete opposite question. One was who has had the most birdies since 2003 on 17. The other one was who has had the most balls in the water at 17 since 2003. And in case you're wondering, it was Phil Mickelson with the most balls in the water, and it was Sergio Garcia with the most birdies at 17 since 03.
And Sergio, was he even yesterday? I think he was even, right?
Yeah, he's 4-under today.
Is he? All right, well, yeah. I picked the wrong guy.
And I've got our list here of our hole-in-ones.
All right, hole-in-ones. Do we have some kind of drum roll, or should I just do that for myself on the table here?
I think, yeah, you could produce
listen
the drum
closely,
roll over there.
Listen closely. Hold on.
All right,
go ahead.
It's really
all the way back to 2002, Miguel Angel Jimenez, first round.
All right.
Back
that's
2000.
The last
yeah, 2002 was the last one. 2000, Paul Azinger. Number 1999, Joey Sindelar, 97, Freddie Couples, 91, Brian Klar, and 86, Brad Fable. So
wow.
Nothing since 2002.
Sounds like they made it easy in the late 90s and early 2000s.
At least I mentioned Fred Couples' name in there. And I remember Joey Sindelar, if you had PGA Tour Golf 2 for the Sega Genesis. Joey Sindelar was like one of eight pros you could play against in that game. There were no distinguishing characteristics other than his name on the scorecard. That's what you had for Joey Sindelar. I think I had some golf trading cards of Joey Sindelar back in the day. Do they still do golf trading cards?
I have no idea. Rory did get the par on 17, by the way.
Magnificent.
So he's going to 18, 7 under through 8 holes today.
Birdie will set the back nine record of 28 par. He will shoot 29 and a hell of a start to his round. Put himself right back into contention. Of course, I picked him last week in my fantasy league. That's kind of how I roll. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We'll get that big story coming out of Pop Warner football that we want to discuss. David Garrard's going to be by in hour number two. We got this state in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. All that upcoming on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, live at the Players on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, the state football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It wasn't exactly this date, but it was a year ago Friday at the Players' Championship. Our very own David Garrard of Jaguars today. Your former Jaguar officially announced his retirement. Dave will be along coming up in the next 15 minutes or so to talk about all the latest news from around the NFL as well as what's going on out here at the Players. Only one notable birthday for today, the Honey Badger, and he was born in the state. Tony, I believe in 1991, I think he's 25 years old today. Do I care really that much if he's 24 or 25? No, but he did make the Pro Bowl last year. He's a lot better in the pros than I ever thought he'd be at 5'9 and about 1.85, soaking wet. So Tyrann Mathieu celebrating a birthday today. And it being Friday the 13th, our question of the day that we've thrown out there is, what is your favorite sports superstition? And it being Friday the 13th, that's the only thing that kept the question from being, what is your favorite athlete's animal nickname? So there you have it. That's all I had with Honey Badger's birthday today. This Dayton football presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located conveniently on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you've got a snore in the family, maybe it's you, do your family a favor and look into some of the remedies that Dr. McCall has. Call 620-9225. They offer 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of all of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
First story here, guys, in the Honda drive around the NFL. 2002 second-round pick and six-year NFL wide receiver Roshe Caldwell. You'll remember he was arrested back in 2014 in Hillsborough County after being busted with nearly 5 pounds of MDMA, also known as Molly. That amount has a street value of nearly $180,000. Well, somehow Caldwell only got 27 months in prison and is soon eligible to have work release. But here's the new development that's coming out in the last couple days, guys. In the newest ESPN, the magazine, Caldwell admits he went on Google to search how to buy Molly and ordered the pills through a Chinese company by simply searching on Google, China Molly MDMA. He then tracked the shipment to an app on his phone, signed for it when a federal agent dressed as a delivery person came to his door. Apparently, his attorney was able to knock down the punishment to 27 months because the Molly was such a poor quality and a knockoff that it did not meet the requirements for higher sentencing standards. So,
come on, Chinese. You gotta be doing better with the Molly over there. Come on.
I thought like the FBI guy was like, oh, this guy cannot make my day this easy, can he?
Right.
Like,
he's really, gonna order it and it's coming right to his
I'm
house?
Just gonna be the courier walking to the door in a FedEx outfit. Like, he's gonna make it this simple for me.
Yeah, there was no sting involved there for Roshe Caldwell. Seahawks wide receiver Ricardo Lockett was the victim of a nasty collision with Cowboys safety Jeff Heath. On a punt return, Lockett revealed back in March that if he would have stood up then, the weight of his back of his head, the left front, and the right in the back, he said he would have died. Ricardo Lockett was forced to retire yesterday because he is no longer able to rotate his head following the neck injury. And here's what he said at his press conference yesterday.
It's not a sad day for me. You know, life goes on. You know, I never really wanted to be Olympic track star or an NFL player. I just wanted to be great. I wanted to be great at something. I wanted to make my family proud. Hopefully I've done that. People say, hey, dude, are you sad that, you know, this happened to you and that, you know, the guy hit you and blah, blah, blah? No, because I'm a dog. You live by the sword and you die by the sword. So, you know, I can't complain about that. And I've done a lot of things on the field that I probably shouldn't have got away with. You know, I don't regret it because I did it for my boys.
Living by the sword and dying by the sword sounds like a direct Gus Bradley quote.
He's a dog.
Absolutely.
I'm a dog.
New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski was named As a cover athlete for the new Madden NFL 17 football game, it was announced Thursday night on SportsCenter. He is the first tight end to ever grace the Madden cover and also the first Patriot to be selected. Carson Wentz, number two pick in the 2016 NFL draft, agreed to a contract with the Eagles on Thursday, one day before they start their three-day rookie camp. Based on the rookie wage scale, his four-year contract is worth just below $27 million. And here's the Pop Warner story you guys want to talk about earlier. Pop Warner said yesterday is eliminating kickoffs in three of its youngest divisions, another safety-focused rule change sure to be noticed by a lot of people. The ban will begin this fall, and instead of kickoffs, the ball would be placed at the 35-yard line to start each half and following scores, and that will be in the 5 to 7 year 5 to 7 year olds, the 7 to 9 year olds, as well as the 8 to 10 year olds. That is also known as the Tiny Mite, the Mighty Mite, and Pee Wee divisions.
Cue all the they're ruining the game, Tony. They're taking the violence out of my game. I mean, they're kids. I don't have any issue with it. My kid doesn't play Pop Warner football. I'm out there when we practice soccer. There's always a lot of football practice going on the adjacent fields. And look, you know, I'm sure there are parents that are probably upset about this. Some coaches are upset about this. But hopefully most of the parents realize why this is being done, and I would think that they do. And, you know, look, they're smaller kids hitting each other, but it also, I think, probably takes less to rattle those little underdeveloped brains. And I don't have an issue. Kickoff is one of the most violent plays in all of football. It's why they've tinkered with different things, and then even at the pro and college levels, to, you know, reduce the number that you have, quite frankly, because they're trying to avoid some of these big collisions.
Look, if the NFL is going to be taking a look at a play like the kickoff and saying we need to do something to limit the exposure of our guys in these types of situations, then certainly the Pop Warner level should be paying attention to that kind of thing. Look, it's a dangerous play. It's an unnecessarily dangerous play.
Time out. Hacker in the house.
Yeah,
just had to give you a hacker update.
But it's an unnecessarily dangerous play, and if you can do something to – I mean, it's simple. It's Pop Warner football. You just say, we're not going to have it anymore. You just start with the ball on the 35-yard line. I see absolutely no issue with that. I get some people are going to be, well, they're not really playing football anymore, blah, 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 blah. Well, they'll start playing football when they get the high score or whatever. Relax, right? They're going to cover a kickoff at some point in their life. It'll be okay if they have to wait a couple more years before they're exposed to that kind of contact with both people running as hard as they possibly can before they hit each other.
And that's the key, because it's not like you can't get lit up at that level, right? Occasionally that linebacker is going to square you up and he's going to get that three-step head start and you're going to get a pretty big impact. But you've got, like you said, Tony, one kid who's probably running in a beeline this way, and another kid who's running twice as far with a full head of steam, and boom, that's where that big collision comes
and
in.
Before they're even used to knowing what they need to do to see anything out there with all the pads and the helmet on, like, it's just, it's a different situation once you're used to the equipment, you're used to your own athleticism, how much you can or can't move. I imagine in Pop Warner, the collisions aren't as impactful, obviously, because it's, you know, they're smaller. But they're also, they don't need to be as big to cause as much damage because they're smaller. They're not as developed as an adult would be.
I'll tell you one thing that apparently doesn't fly in Pop Warner these days, getting pancaked by a fifth grader. One kid was getting his ass chewed the other day at our practice. Like, you got pancaked by a fifth grader.
I'm like,
this poor kid, man, he's going to be stigmatized for the rest of his school days.
I want to say 3 or 4 seasons ago, South Park did a Sarcastaball, is what they called their episode, right? And it was basically Randy, Kyle's dad. They came home, the kids came home from their elementary school football one day, and they had announced at the elementary school football that they weren't going to have kickoffs anymore. And Randy was all upset. He's like, that's the best play. That's the most essential play of the game. So he's like, why don't you just have a balloon? And everyone has to compliment everybody else on the field. So they started a Sarcastaball league, and it like took over for the NFL. So he was the Denver Broncos Sarcastaball coach at one point in the episode, basically just making fun of all these people who think this play is the most important thing of all time.
Well, there you go. It is not the most important thing of all time. Again, the one reference I keep going back to, and I've done this for years now, at one point they thought it was perfectly acceptable to tackle you by clotheslining you across the neck.
Yeah.
And that was a legal play. And I'm sure when they outlawed that, people said, you're ruining the game. This isn't the game I grew up. We grew up trying to take a guy's head off, literally. And that's football, and now it's not football. And I'm sure Deacon Jones, until the day he died, thought they were all soft who came after him. That's kind of how Deacon Jones was. Hacker's here. Hello, Hacker.
Guys, how are you?
How are you, Hacker? It's always a treat when we have you stop by the Jaguars Today set.
I'm certainly happy to be here after walking from the media center through that crowd. That was a lot of fun and excitement.
It was not as bad, I find, if you get here a little bit earlier. It's not as bad. But even at 9 o'clock, it was still an easy stroll down, but pretty packed out there right now.
There are a million people here.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
good.
Incredible. And I was just on the phone with one of my midday chalk mates, Rick Ballew, who apparently is sitting in gridlock right now. So
is he really?
Yeah, apparently.
Hey, I've been there.
Yeah, oh, I have too. That's why I got here really early.
I remember leaving back when we were at the other network. I don't think they're around anymore. But when we were there.
It's Brand X, Mike.
Right,
Brand
we were on from 4 to 7, yep. As you recall. We had the dynamic duo of me and you, and others would come and go. But it was me and you. We were the core. We were the heart of that station.
We were the show.
The heart of the network. We were the show.
That's right.
And I remember leaving truly at 1 o'clock. And reaching a point where I'm sitting on Butler Boulevard thinking, I'm not making it for a 4 o'clock show. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it can get very, very congested. And I know somebody was texting at us yesterday, Tony, on the text line driven by Duval Ford saying, this guy, well, his name's Tony, this guy keeps saying, go Nocatee. I went Nocatee. We're backed up. Da-da-da. Trust us. Look,
You have no idea.
Does it mean you can't get caught in traffic on Nocatee? No, but your odds are better if you go the little back 210.
I came out to see this morning. I didn't stop.
You know what, Tony? What I've heard, though, and that was obviously early this morning, I've heard from two different sources I can confirm, one of which works on the afternoon show here and also does TV, that maybe the secret is out.
What does Amanda do on TV?
There were more people. Like, I have noticed there's been more people each day this week on Nocatee.
Yeah.
But, look, for everyone who's complaining when they get caught in traffic on Nocatee, do you remember coming in on A1A?
Yeah.
And taking an hour and a half to get here because...
Well, they're all listening to us in their car right now.
Me waiting to get here on Nocatee coming down here, I had to wait for maybe 20 minutes. It added maybe 10 minutes to my ride as opposed to the 45 to an hour that it does coming down A1A.
But you know what, guys? The bottom line, the good thing is, I mean, there are a ton of people here. Everybody's having fun. So just be patient. It's going to take a little bit of time. But once you get in, you get parked, you get settled, it is a phenomenal day right now. The scenery is lovely here at the Benefactor Tent, and I'm looking forward to being out here for the next 4 hours.
T-Wig got jealous. He wants to come on and join us right now. T-Wig's about to break the furniture around here. Calm down, my man.
Not
right.
Sitting on the furniture trying
Calm
to
down.
Break it. Just pulling headsets all over the place.
This is amazing. Are we doing crosstalk right now? Or
it feels
gonna,
like crosstalk.
Let's just do crosstalk for an hour, guys.
It feels like we're playing Twister, actually, with me being up here where I am.
It kind of does. You're on a higher level, yeah. Which is often the case with you and your knowledge and your delivery and all those things. You play on a higher plane.
Yeah, we just got on the text line, traffic backed up to JTB. So
yeah.
Take Nocatee, you
or,
clowns.
Hey, you could have moved to St. Augustine and just come straight up A1A.
Guess
like
what?
I
didn't have any problems. I came all the way from the west side. Had to go work this morning and got right on JTB off of 95, shot up. A1A was a little bit packed, but I made it. You know, it took
most
me.
People don't drive in the breakdown lane like you, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's so that makes it a little bit easier. Guys are going crazy low again today. You see Rory out to 7-under through 7.
I saw Rory and Jonas Blixt just went nuts in his early round
this
morning.
He's been up and down, though. Last we looked, he was tied for the lead. Still there, Tony, at 9-under, Jonas Blixt?
Yeah, he and Jason Day, they're at 9-under. Zach Johnson gave one back, so he dropped back down to 8-under. By the way, Rory McIlroy did par 18.
So he matched the back 9 record of 29.
Wow. Yeah. You know what's crazy about Rory, Mike? I was in his press conference on Wednesday, and they asked him, you know, how many practice rounds has he got in? How's the course looking? This was at 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. Rory says, well, I landed 30 minutes ago, so I really can't tell you all that much. So he got here late morning, early afternoon Wednesday, had time to play about 9 holes, comes out yesterday and struggles the way the course was playing. But then a 29 this morning on his opening 9, just incredible.
Yeah, it struggled the way the course was playing. But, you know, he was hot. He came in off a great round on Sunday, had two great rounds at the Wells Fargo and two mediocre rounds, but had the big round on Sunday that got him on the leaderboard and into the top 5. But like, they know this course, man. These guys know. They know every shot. They know every club that they're going to hit. If they hit the proper tee shot, they know what club they're going to pull before they even walk up to their ball.
It's playing softer than it usually does.
And, true.
And so you have these guys that are very comfortable here anyway, like Rory McIlroy, who usually plays pretty well out here. And on top of that, the golf course is playing easier than it usually
you
does.
You can hit your driver more because it's not going to roll through the fairway.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that it wasn't changed from day one to day two. But you can't really do anything about it. I know usually they go low on day one. I'm surprised that they've gone so low so early on day two.
Right, but I think it's fair because, I mean, because I know the guys in the afternoon, it wasn't super hard in the afternoon, but it was a little bit easier yesterday morning, right? So I like to see, all right, let's try to get as close to the same conditions for day two, and the afternoon flight gets the, you know, the easier, softer conditions in the morning, and then you can – not water the greens for the rest of the weekend, and we'll see if that happens or not. All right, boys, what do we have coming up today on the Midday Chalk, huh?
You know, we're obviously going to talk about a lot about the players, going to talk a lot about Oklahoma City. I mean, I was stunned. San Antonio almost rolled over and died last night. And is that the end of Duncan Parker, Ginobili? Well,
they
I mean, they're down big. They're
man,
down 26.
They fought. I thought they fought.
Did I call it hack?
Yeah.
I said they were going to beat them and get them out of there.
And you're right. I'm shocked. You did call it. I'll give you credit. I'm really surprised it's not going to be Golden State, San Antonio. But I do think the NBA gained a little something because T-Week said yesterday Golden State probably runs roughshod over San Antonio. I think Oklahoma City, Golden State is going to be an incredible series.
Popovich has gotten on my last nerve. That's one of the things I'm going to talk about today.
We'll see. The odds makers like San Antonio as a coin flip against Golden State. They like Golden State about 4-1 against Oklahoma City. But what do they know, right? I mean, that's just people running their mouth and playing percentages. Still got to play the games. All right, Hacker T-Wig, we'll talk to you guys coming up in just a little bit. There they go. The Midday Chalk right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. You got issues with your roof? You want to make sure you don't have any? 287-7756, the number to call. Hail damage, wind damage, storm damage, you name it. Make sure your roof is in great shape. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. License number CCC056797. Coming back, more Jaguars today. But first, this Players' Championship update on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars today, live at the Players. Get those texts on the text line.
Golf is the most boring thing in the world. I can't believe you're talking about golf.
Well,
stick to football.
Stick to football. It's a football show.
All right, well, you know, don't renew your subscription to Jaguars Today. What can I tell you? Okay, it's a freebie, and we try to talk football almost exclusively on the program. But when you're in this environment, you're going
to
mention.
Now and then we digress to nerd talk.
A little nerd talk. That's definitely, you're right. 90% football, 10% junk that we like, and hopefully enough of you out there like it to not turn the station. But Jonas Blix tied with Jason Day atop the leaderboard. Jason Day is just like carnage, man. I'm just going to sit back and watch because they're catching him, but nobody's getting ahead of him right now, Tony.
Right.
Jason
if
Day,
Blix can maintain, he's still got the par 5 ninth to play, so
right?
He should be able to get one there probably, but a little bit of work to do to get to that point still. He just birdied number 6 coming in. He started on the back 9, so he's still 4 under on his round, 9 under for the tournament with 3 to play.
And Rory is playing 1 now. He matched the course record for the back 9, which was set yesterday by Shane Lowry, right, shooting 29 with 5 birdies and an eagle starting out his day. He started at the turn, bombed 1-on-1 and hit it inside 12 feet on his approach shot. So he's got a chance to get to 8 under on the day.
He is locked in. And he's one of those guys where you can almost just watch him walk and tell what kind of round he's having. Like, he carries it that way.
Right, a little up on the balls of his feet if he's doing well.
And when he's doing well, there are days where you better just get out of his way because he is going to be, you know, the Terminator out there where he's going to be mowing things down at times. And if obviously the front 9 was that way for him. You know, you shoot a 29 on the front for him, the back 9 here at TPC Sawgrass going over to the front 9 now. It could be an incredible round that we're going to see here from Rory
McIlroy.
If
you could pick your holes out here, Tony, and I told you you had to hole out and you could only use 29 strokes, how many holes do you think you could complete on this course, hand-picking your holes, the ones you were going to play? That'd be tough, right? I mean, because even if you hand-pick it, doesn't mean you're not going to bogey it, right?
No.
So if you figure the average hole is a par 4 because you got the equal amount of par 3s and par 5s, you're shooting 29. You could play 7 holes with 1 bogey and a bunch of pars. There are not 7 holes I could pick and guarantee that kind of score.
No.
Maybe 5? I don't know. Maybe 5, something like that. And McIlroy just did it in tournament conditions from the tips, shooting 29 on the back 9. It's pretty incredible. So that's going on right now. I'm guessing David Garrard has experienced the beauty of Players' Championship Friday traffic and parking conditions. We had a little birdie tell us that
he didn't anticipate that throw.
You know what? That's right. You didn't lead that receiver, pal. There are still people that have not gotten the word, despite, I don't know, multiple months of promotion.
Look, I know
you cannot buy parking on site.
I know everyone who is listening to us right now knows that you have to buy your parking before you get to
I hope so.
Whether they're coming out here or not, anyone who listens to 1010XL knows that you have to buy your parking before you get out here this year. Apparently not word that got to everyone, so it's causing some problems in the parking lots. Again, they're sold out for parking, I believe, today already. So if you haven't printed out your parking and bought it yet, then there's probably no point.
Other shuttle places you can park and ride and come on
you
in.
You can Uber. You can take a taxi.
Get a job with the media and get a media credential.
Right. You're going to have to find some other kind of transportation out here because apparently the lots are sold out. And that's why they wanted to do the you buy it beforehand is so they would know.
Right.
And they need to shut down the lots because they've had problems for the last couple of years at least where on Friday about this time they've been like, look, the lots are full. We don't know what we can do with all these people. We're trying to send them over here and here and here, and it's not really their parking where they're having to work it out on the day of, and they're trying to avoid that this year, and apparently a lot of people didn't get the message.
I guarantee you there are more people on Thursday that come out in the morning and then go back to work in the afternoon. You come out in the morning on Friday, ain't getting any work done, buddy. Yeah, there's
no, it's
no
done.
There's
it's
no
the
work.
Weekend.
You're into your 3-day weekend now. Everybody out here, and good for you. I'm glad our economy is well enough off that all these people can take Friday off and enjoy the Players' Championship. Wanted to talk about a story Tyler had in this date in the Honda Drive around the NFL.
Yeah.
The Carson Wentz deal. Right? I saw this yesterday. He got his contract done, and they're basically slotted, so you know the general range. He got about $26 million on his rookie contract, we understand. And now when you're picked basically in the first round, I think you get a guaranteed deal. Certainly in the top half of the first round, that entire thing is guaranteed. The Eagles, before they made the deal to move up to number two, apparently reached out to the same agent as Goff, who went number one, right? And reached out to the agent and said, speaking for each of these guys, are they willing to put offset language into their contracts? Offset language means if I cut you, let's say I owe you $10 million next year, mm-hmm. and it's guaranteed, and I cut you, and you go to another team, and they sign you for $5 million. Well, that's $5 million less that I have to pay you. You're still going to get paid 10, but you're going to get 5 from me, 5 from the other guy. Look at that. Look at this guy. Are you kidding me? Look who's behind you right now. Come over here. Come over here. This guy's unbelievable. We'll talk to him in just a second. Evan Ritter, how are you, brother?
What's going on, Evan?
My goodness. This is stunning. A stunning development has happened at TPC. Let me just get back to this Wednesday. Put a headset on. Get over here and talk to us. Yes, put a headset on and come talk to us. Come on. Come on. You got to tell us what you're doing. Put on the blue one right there, all right? Yes, that's the blue one. That is correct. The Eagles went to Wentz and Goff and said, are you willing to include this in the deal? What does that tell you, Tony? If you're taking a guy, if you're trading up to number two, and you're worried about cutting this guy in the first 4 years of his contract,
yeah, it's weird.
Then you shouldn't be trading up to number two.
Right.
Unbelievable. Evan Ritter. Evan Ritter was the first co-host of a show called The Show way back in the day. What's up,
what's
brother?
Going
How are
on,
you?
Man?
You look fantastic.
Good to see
man.
You.
How's everything?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Doing well.
Just hanging out?
Yeah.
Let me see that left hand right there. You're married.
Oh, yeah.
How long?
Three kids.
Three kids!
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How are you? What's up?
Doing well. Just enjoying the day.
What are you up to these days, huh?
Doing
is that
well.
Grey Goose nope, for him
this
right
is
there?
It. This is it.
A little early Grey Goose for Evan Ritter. We're not allowed to drink on the. You can drink
no,
on
the. No, no. I'll wait. I'll wait till I'm off. This brings
you
back
can
good
tell
memories.
Us how delicious. Yeah, we used to drink all the time.
We
right,
did.
Back in the show.
No, we did.
No, we didn't. Maybe we did. You don't know. It was a long time ago. Evan and I, as we like to refer to it, we're on another network together for a phenomenal, like a 4-month run. It was like the greatest four or 5 months in sports radio history is what the way I'm told it over the years.
I loved it. I always speak of it.
Where are you now? Where are you living?
Working at living here, back in town. Went
are
to
you?
Orlando for 4 years. Back
I knew
in town.
You were down in O-Town for a while.
Working for a company locally called CSI.
Oh, there you go.
So doing healthcare IT staffing.
Loving it?
It's good.
Loving
it's
life?
It's great. Loving life.
All right. You look fantastic,
three boys.
Man. Three boys. How about that? Good for you.
So
I got one.
Good.
I'm one and done. Tony's still waiting. You could borrow a couple of yours, maybe.
Two more, and you can have an offensive line. Just
exactly.
Line.
Borrow one of Evan's, and you might not want to have your own, Tony. You might say, you know what, I'm good just the way I am. So what is your preferred viewing locale out here? Obviously, you're in the benefactor tent. It's never a bad place to be.
No,
right?
we actually usually get stuck in here, but we're going to walk around. We're going to go find Rory and Bubba and DJ.
They just made the turn. Yeah,
they just made the turn.
They're playing. They're finishing up one right now.
So what's Rory going to do on the front? Three or four under?
Man, if he goes three or four under, he will set the course record.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, 29 on the back nine coming in, and then parred 17 and 18 to match the back nine record.
Pretty Have you made your predictions yet?
Okay. I'm going to go with Day. I'm going to go with Jason
Day.
Stick
with him?
First round. I'm going to stick with him for the first round leader. No, I took Kevin Na because I tried to go a little outside the box. And let me see where he's at right now. Last I looked, he was one under and desperately trying to pick up another birdie or two coming in because cut line's not going to be that low now. It's going to be up there. Rory, still at seven. Rory parred number one. Last I looked, Kevin Na was he picked up another one, Tony. He's red hot. Shh, don't jinx him. He's two under overall. I just got to make the weekend. Man.
Hey,
I can't have my pick miss the cut.
Well, Boo just came through.
Boo, yeah, we got. Hey, look, all the best in the world.
He's got back-to-back-to-back birdies. Boo does to get the nine under.
The whole thing.
Great to see.
It's going on. Good to see you, man.
You as well, Mike.
Yeah,
good
Evan
to see
Ritter.
You.
Oh my goodness, blast from the past. And how old are the kids? How old's the oldest?
8, 6, and almost three.
8, 6, and three. Okay, you didn't get started ahead of me, but close. Mine's going to be 12
next
month.
I know.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Great to see you, man.
You as well, Mike.
Evan Ritter from way back in the day. Blast from the past in Jacksonville Sports Radio. Phenomenal, dude. Good to see you, buddy. All right. We're going to take a time out here. We're going to go to the media center in a moment, get an update from Jack O'Brien on this ever-evolving leaderboard. Jason Day still tied for the lead right now. Boo Weekly in at 9-under right now. Colton Nost at 9-under par. Jonas Blix at 9-under par. And look out, because here comes Justin Thomas just getting to 8-under, 6-under on his day as well. So scoring conditions apparently just about as favorable as they were yesterday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. In a minute, we go to the media center with another Players' Championship update here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I want to say one more thing before we break, too. I want to go ahead and let you guys know that I am officially retiring. I will be officially retiring as a Jaguar.
Oh,
nice! When is that going to happen? When is that going to happen?
We're going to work it out, yes.
All right, it's coming.
But I want to make sure that I air that here on 1010XL.
You're a good man. Congratulations.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's all the garage you're getting today. that was a blast from the past in the Wayback Machine, Tony. A year ago, Friday at the Players, David Garrard announced his official retirement, although he was kind of, you know, in that stage, hadn't played in a little bit.
Sure.
But still was hopeful for the call to come, and he had some calls. And he just finally decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to Retro Fitness and look housed like he does now. I'm just going to look like a player instead of actually being a player, and it's a lot easier on your body that way.
Yeah, he sat down with us. He was like, I have an announcement before we leave today. We're like, okay, we'll get to it whenever you want
to. Yeah, it's just have to do. You got a new Retro Fitness opening up. What's going on?
Whenever you want to, Dave. And you were about to leave. You were like, oh, we got to get to a break, and then you were out of here. You had to go do something.
I'm trying to remember why I left early last
year. I don't know.
Year.
But he was like, oh, before you go, I'm retiring, and I'm retiring as a Jaguar. It's like, well, why didn't you tell us this an hour and a half ago?
Right, we were talking about the whole show. We're dying for content here. Are you kidding me?
David.
Apparently, according to Tyler always up on the news of the weird, the world's oldest living woman has passed away, 116 years old.
Holy cow.
I don't think I want to live to be 116 years old. I'm serious. I mean, I know I'm not going to make it, so it's like saying, well, I don't want to live another 70 years, Tony. like I have a shot at that. I'd seven maybe pushing it. The way I treat my body,
do I want to live another? No.
I mean, what do you do today? Woke up. I mean, really, what else do you do when you're 116? What do you? I made it to the bathroom. Hey, congratulations!
I'd like to ask Susanna what the World Series was like in 1908.
Sure.
Ah, that's a good point.
But you know, if you make it to 116, I imagine you're still doing okay physically. You know, like me, I could see like it's not going to be good. Like, me at 116 is bad. It's broken down. There's no purpose to it. But you see some of these, like, they do the video bits about some of the oldest people in the world, and you're like, man, they're still moving around pretty darn good.
Right.
And it's like they were just blessed. God just reached out over here and blessed that person.
They're gardening. That's what they do. They all garden, and they drink nothing but, like, coconut milk or whatever. I don't know. They had some weird diet, and they, you know. And but then again, you get the ones who are like, yeah, I smoked two packs of cigarettes for the last century every day.
It's like the old man on Grumpier Old Men.
If you win the genetic
lottery. I keep going
to
doctors. They keep telling me to change my diet, and they keep dying. And so they asked what my diet is, and I said, well, I have bacon for breakfast. I usually have a bacon sandwich for lunch, and I drink my dinner.
That sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, all those things sounded pretty good.
Mike, right, so you were asking where you went when you had to leave early for the show last year.
Where did I go?
You had to go to Jaguars rookie minicamp to go watch Dante
right.
Fowler.
Oh, damn, was that? Oh,
shut up, Tyler.
Same
damn,
day.
Why you
shut
bring
up about
the bad
that.
News? Oh, was that the same day?
That was that Friday.
Same day as David Garrard announced his retirement, we lost Dante.
And I was doing a live hit with the boys of XL Primetime. You remember that show, Tony, XL Primetime?
I do.
It was pretty good, I thought. But,
fond memories.
Anyway, I was doing a live hit, and they're like, and you know how it is. You don't want to be rude, and they don't really like you doing like live updates right from the sideline. So I walked behind the bleachers. And I remember Hacker, I think, asking, so what have you seen from Dante Fowler Jr.? I'm like, well, to be honest with you, not much. They just took the field. They're just going to go through some light stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, I hang up, and by the time I walk around the bleachers, all of a sudden all hell has broken loose.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what did I miss in that 5 minutes? And that's when Dante went down. And I started, the cell phone videos started going around and the whole nine yards.
I was doing updates that afternoon, and people were, like, texting in. They were like, I could hear the change in your voice. Like, just when the Fowler news came out, like, my updates became, well, so-and-so.
They knew
whatever.
It right away. I mean, I remember they knew it. You know, you never diagnose it on the spot, right? You could be wrong.
You watched the video, though. It was like, yep.
You knew. They knew. You knew. You could tell in Gus's demeanor that it was not going to be a good one. But, hey, good news is Dante Fowler, not only is he in shape, I mean, they.
For good thing.
They
yeah.
said, we've heard that. In the little that he's been on the field, doesn't look any worse for wear.
No.
Let's put it that way. And I'm not trying to get you with that, unbridled enthusiasm, but why not? I think Dante's going to be pretty
like
good.
He looks like a guy worthy of the number three
pick. He looks like the guy you thought you were drafting
yeah.
right now. And, we're a year removed from it. So he's had a full year, which is plenty of time. Typically, 9 to 12-month recovery. It's mental now. Getting him out there, getting some contact in mini camps and in training camp. Don't go crazy with him, but you've got another, 4 months or what is it? May, June, July, August. Yeah, about close to 4 months until he's got to hit the field for real. So the injury shouldn't be any other than the mental aspect of it, shouldn't hold him back much at all this year.
No, and that's usually the way it works with an ACL anyway, is you have to trust that leg again and trust that it's going to give you, that flexibility, that burst that you used to have. I know that's something we talked to a lot with Sendarek Marks about last year when he came back on the field, how comfortable he was after every game, and you could hear him in his voice talking about how much more confident he got in that leg. And I think because of the timing of the injury, you're hoping that maybe Dante Fowler can go through some of that right now. When he is out there with some of the other guys and get that confidence back in his leg. So by the time we do get to when the live bullets are really flying for this football team, he is the guy that you drafted him to be, and they need him to be. Because look, we've talked about it for the last couple months going into free agency, what were they going to do with that Leo pass rush spot, what they did in the draft, and what they have is a bunch of young guys. It doesn't mean they don't have young guys that can get the job done. We just haven't seen these guys do it yet at this level. They are talented at that position, more talented than they were going into the season last year. Whether that's going to turn into anything for them, we'll find out in just a few short months.
All right. Today we asked you in the fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, to tell us what is your biggest sports superstition, being that it is Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Let me give you a few I got on the Facebook page. Seth said, proven in my time as a tennis and football fan, if I don't watch my team or player does better, makes for some tough moral choices at major finals and playoffs. I'm the same way. I will watch, like, when my team is pitching to see if they get them out, and then I'll turn it off when my team's on offense. If my baseball team, the Yankees, is behind, that's what I'll do.
I told you at breakfast today, the Braves, I've watched, I think, 20, 21 games of the Braves this year. They're 0-20 in the games that I've watched. They've only won 8 games, so it's not like they're winning all the time, but my Braves fan brethren keep telling me to stop watching. Because they think I'm a hex right now on this Braves team. I stopped
Possibly.
Watching yesterday when they were down 4-0. I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Then they stormed back to tie it up 4-4. And then when I started watching again, they gave up 3 in the top of the 10th inning and lost the ball game to Philadelphia. So maybe I am a hex.
A couple of others. These weren't personal necessarily, but others they enjoy. You are. You may be a hex. You're a hex on this program. Jason said, watching Big John Henderson get slapped as hard as he could before each game. I don't know if it was superstition. Maybe it was. I guess you could put it in that category.
Did he watch it before each game?
Is that his
tradition to get ready for a Jaguars game? He made sure.
Maybe he did.
He watched John Henderson
maybe
get
he
slapped.
Did. Maybe he did. That might be the case. Dustin said, ever since Gus took over, I found myself doing a pregame good luck rain dance. However, it's only worked 25% of the time. Okay. Garrett said, left sock, left boot, right sock, right
dance.
Boot. All right. You put on, how do you do it? You do sock, shoe, or you do sock, sock, shoe, shoe?
Sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
I think I do sock, shoe is how I do it. I remember there was an episode of Archie Bunker where they debated the right way to do this. Because, like, if your house caught on fire and you had to run outside, well, you'd be better off having one shoe on or going out there in both your socks. Because both your socks are going to get ruined. I don't know. That's a tough call. What else? Jamie said, does Jimmy Hoffa being buried at Giant Stadium count? Is that your superstition? I don't know. Sure. And then Christopher
That's
said.
A conspiracy.
I know. Moises Alou peed on his hands to harden them. I don't think that was a superstition. I think that was something he, Posada, and a couple of other guys did because I think it was actually effective in
well,
doing
was
that.
Was it effective?
I don't know. Maybe
think
it was a superstition.
So it becomes weird. Superstition.
What do you got on Twitter?
Here's what we got on Twitter from Eric. Don't step on the foul line when taking the field in baseball or softball. Can't do it.
Or else they'll scold you for not doing things the right way.
The bad innings follow. From Duval Doom, can't look at the other team when you're on defense. Only look at your own players. Interesting. From Daniel, you cannot change your game day mood, food. You must eat the exact same thing on game day. I think it's food.
I think it's food, too,
yeah,
yes.
I think it's food. From Black Dog, this is my favorite of the day. Superstitions are for the mentally insufficient. They never work. Hashtag knock on wood.
Atta baby, knock on wood. You find yourself saying that. We probably have a bunch of them that we don't even realize. But happy Friday the 13th. Hope you navigate the traffic better than David Garrard did today. Shout out to DG9, who I'm guessing might still be stuck in the car listening. You're never stuck if you've got 1010XL and 92.5 on, right? You get out of the car, you flip on the app. You put the little earpiece in, you're set, you're good to go, man. They had to make that bow to technology a few years ago and allow cell phones. Could you imagine what it'd be like? Life would be like, I mean, when's the last time you walked around in a crowd of people and didn't see people just looking down, staring at their screens? Constantly, all the time. I do it myself. Constantly, all the time. And I have no one even trying to contact me. I need Kevin Na to birdie 9 to get back to 2-under, and I'll feel better about his chances to stick around for the weekend because I'm not feeling too good right now at -1, and that's all he's got for today. Boo Weekly, Jonas Blix, Colton Nost, I have all equaled Jason Day's 9-under par, but they're just about done with their rounds. Day's got plenty to go. Nost, by the way, is 9-under with 2 holes to play. He's playing 17 right now, I think. Tony, you're just coming up on 17. So, right, parring in would shoot 63, could break the course record with a birdie and a par in his last couple of holes here. So, plenty of big names on the leaderboard. Rory still at 7-under. Went out in 7-under today. He's playing the par 5 second hole, and he's got about 7 feet for birdie there to get to 8-under on the day, as maybe he'll chase down the course record before all is said and done.
He scores, man. Holy cow.
I mean, look, if Jason Day goes out and shoots 65, though, today, forget about it. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, honestly, if he shoots 3-under, he's going to be in great shape at 12 heading into the weekend. Regardless, thanks again to the folks at the Players Championship. Phenomenal host to all of us out here. Oh, is that DG? Nice of you to make it out, David Garrard. Is that him right there?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, Dave. Yeah, do a little radio show over here now. Let him go. Let him go, T-Wig. He just made it. It's all right. We're going to break. David Garrard made the program today. In memory, in memoriam to his retirement announcement last year. And if anything happens to any Jaguar players at any minicamp, it's Tyler's fault for bringing up bad mojo on Friday the 13th. How dare you do that, Tyler Devitt. All right, Devitt's going to head out here to the stadium course. Our work is just about done. We've gotten into all the trouble we could possibly do on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. We'll come back. We'll say hello to the boys of the Midday Chalk. Coming up next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.